Thanks for hitting play. If you love exploring how to do school different so you can make a legendary impact on your campus, then you're in the right place. My name is Danny Bauer, and this is the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, the original ruckus maker podcast for visionary leaders, innovators, and rebels in education. Thanks to ruckus makers just like you, this show ranks in the top 0.5% of over 3 million worldwide shows. In today's conversation, I speak with Brenda Yoho, who wrote the book Lead with Two Rules. We cover topics like the importance of every student having at least one caring adult, why you can't do it all on your own, and the only two rules you need to follow as a school leader. So once again, thanks for listening, and we'll be right back after a quick message from our show sponsors. Hey, Ruckus Maker, I'll make this quick. If you're listening to this message right now, you're missing out. When you subscribe to the Ruckus Maker newsletter on Substack, you get access to microbooks focused on how to do school different, tools and other resources that will help you make a ruckus and do school different, stories and case studies of the world's most legendary ruckus makers of all time, access to my calendar to schedule coaching sessions, and you'll also get bonus podcast content that won't be released on the main podcast feed and podcast episodes without any advertisements. So if you love this show, if it's helped you grow, and you want access to more tools and resources that will help you make a ruckus and do school different, then become a paid subscriber at ruckusmakers.substack.com. That's ruckusmakers.substack.com. As a principal with so much to do, you might be thinking constantly, where do I even start? It's a good question. And that's why I created a 12-month principal checklist just for you. When you download it for free, you're going to get a 12-month checklist that identifies general tasks that every campus will want to do each month. But the checklist also includes space where you can write campus-specific items and two opportunities to reflect on what worked and what you want to continue doing and what didn't work and what you want to change or improve. When you take action on this checklist for a year, you will have built a leadership playbook for your school, and you won't have to reinvent the wheel or feel like a first-year principal all over again. Go to betterleadersbetterschools.com/principal-checklist to download for free right now. Over 1 million teachers rely on IXL because it's empowering. It helps them make better decisions with reliable data, and it adapts instruction based on student performance. Get started today at IXL.com/leaders. That's IXL.com/leaders. How would you like to increase student talk by an average of 40%? More student ownership, more student discourse. Check it out for yourself by trying out TeachFX. Go to teachfx.com/betterleaders to pilot their program today. When you work with Quest Food Management Services, you're going to feel good about the food you serve your students. That's because the food is real and it's made from scratch and locally sourced. Learn more about Quest Food Management Services at questfms.com or follow Quest Food on social media. That's questfms.com. All right. And Brenda, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks, Danny, for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate you. You know, you do good work. I just want to start off with gratitude as well. You're certainly a connector, and I want to talk about this and riff on it. Just really hear it quickly on the onset of the call, because you know Adam Grant talks about givers and takers. You're a giver, right? You certainly are a giver, and you create good things and value for everybody in your network. And you're just super generous, and so I really admire that about you and appreciate it. So. That being said, let's dive into the main conversation. But I want to start off with you telling us a story of a third grade girl who was just absolutely devastated by a teacher. Bring us to that moment.
Yeah, third grade girl, and she's experiencing death for the very first time. And so it takes her away from school for about a week. And she comes back and she's facing taking a math test and she fails it, of course, because she's missed out a lot of important steps in math. And you know how valuable that is. And so the teacher says, take it home, have it signed by your parent. So she does. She takes it home. Here's the problem. If she's at home, her mom signs it, and she doesn't like the way it looks. The mom does it. So she erases it, and she signs it again. Still not liking the way it looks, she erases it one more time. And finally, the girl is saying, Mom, please, I've got to walk to school. I've got to go. So the little girl takes the test paper, and there's lots of students around the desk, and she places it on the desk, not wanting to interrupt the teacher, walks quietly back to her desk. But before she gets there, the teacher raises up the test and says, Brenda, it looks like you've signed this test and not your mom. She's very shy. I was, as a third grade student, and terrified at that moment. And she tells me to go out to the hallway. Everybody's looking at me. And she tells me she's going to call home. And I'm telling her I don't want her to call home. But she's thinking I'm admitting guilt, but I'm not. She gets the other teacher involved. So now both classrooms were looking at me. And luckily for me, my older sister was at home and she's the one who received the phone call. So my older sister comes to school, has a conversation with the teacher. I have no idea what they say, but the teacher never says anything to me. Here was the secret that I was holding. My parents were uneducated. They had no idea about school. They didn't know anything about reading, but my mom knew how to write her name and it was beautiful handwriting. And she had such an honor and held teachers in such high esteem that she wanted to be perfect for the teacher. And I didn't want my mom to be embarrassed. And at that moment, I sure didn't feel good and I sure didn't feel safe, which is why you find that on my book, not feeling good and not feeling safe, which is how I felt as I went through elementary and middle school. And I didn't really start to feel good about school or safe until I got to high school when I found some high school teachers who really took an interest in me. So I don't know about you, Danny, and how you felt about school, but that's kind of how I felt for a while.
Right. You know, what was it about high school where you said the teachers took an interest in you? Like, what did that look like and feel like, I guess?
Yeah, so I had a business teacher, actually two of them, but really my typing teacher. She was just such a kind-hearted individual and she smiled and just was so generous with what she was giving out to everybody. And she had been through cancer. And so I saw her as somebody who had, you know, my grandmother had passed away from cancer and I saw her as just a person who just loved life and she loved people. And she would always say, well, Brenda, you can stay in here and help me if you want. And you can help me do this. And so I just latched onto her. And the positive interactions with her made me feel better about people and being part of the community.
Yeah, got it. Well, appreciate you, you know, bringing to that moment. And you know, what do you think, like, how did that influence you now as an adult? Right. Obviously, you wrote the book Lead with Two Rules, and we'll dig into that. But, you know, how did those early experiences, elementary, middle, that weren't so good, and then high school that got a bit better, then you became, you know, this wonderful educator and that kind of thing. But yeah, can you connect some dots for us?
Yeah. So my parents were givers. They loved to give to other people. And, you know, I had a church family that did the same. And then I finally found educators that did the same. I think it instilled in me that I wasn't the only person who was feeling not safe and not good. Because all of a sudden, I started seeing other people who were not feeling good and not feeling safe. When you transition from grade levels, a lot of things happen. There's different things that happen to kids at different levels with your hormones and different things. Another incident that I didn't put in the book that happened with us in high school is that bullying was really prevalent with our school. And we had a young man who was in my journalism class who hung himself.
Oh my.
The teacher that was leading that class was his next door neighbor who found him.
Oh gosh.
And I think that was probably one of the biggest turning points for me, is that I realized, okay, there's lots of other people who are not feeling good and feeling safe. And we really have got to, we've got to do something about this. And so then I started thinking a little bit differently about that. Okay, it's not just me, it's other people too. And I think it had a big impact on me moving forward.
Yeah, and that forms sort of the basis, the framework for your book, Lead With Two Rules. Those two rules have to do with feeling good and feeling safe. I read the book, you know, and I think I have an understanding of what that means. But, you know, as the author, like, how do you define that concept of feel good and feel safe?
Well, if you look at Maslow's hierarchy of needs, if you look at all of those things, you put them all together, it really is the concept of feeling like, if we want to meet or what we're searching for in life, we want to feel happy. We want to feel good about ourselves. We want to feel good about the people that we're with. And we definitely want to feel safe in every place we go. And I think that if we look at ourselves as a society, if we think about the rules we have as a society, all of those rules are put into place to make us feel good about ourselves and to feel safe. Narrow that down to the school, all of the roles that we have in school, all of those are associated with helping us to feel good and happy and helping us feel safe. And we think about as parents and grandparents, the roles we put in place in our homes is to ensure that our children are feeling good about who they are and who they're trying to be. Because we know that they have struggles with that sometimes, and that they're feeling safe. And I think that I really gave that so much thought as I became an educator. Now, I didn't first, you know, start out as an educator. I started out in the medical field as a secretary, really. And I went back to school to become a teacher. And I worked as a teaching assistant first. And I started seeing, you know, lots of kids with so many issues. And I just continued to build on my philosophy with two rules. And really how to build those trusting relationships and what we needed to do to help meet the needs of our children that we were serving. So really, it really just comes down to, instead of just telling kids all of these things, is to really just help them with understanding what we are trying to do. We're trying to help them to feel delusion. Okay, so I think that the most important thing is we need to understand is that kids get angry if they get called to the office and say that they're going to be suspended from school breaking a rule when nobody clarifies to them exactly what this process is. I think that's a big, huge piece that's missing. Two rules is not a replacement for saying that kids are not going to be held accountable or responsible for actions that they take. Everybody has a choice that we make every single day with everything that we do. And that's what two rules is about, choices. And we work on explaining those choices. And there's a process of what we do in helping kids to work through that and understanding the difference between responding and reacting. When you react to a situation, you're using your emotions. Mm-hmm. We're helping kids to understand how to regulate those emotions. And when we need to take a step back, and that it's important that they need to feel good and safe, but so does everybody else. Mm-hmm. And we need to take the time to process in order to solve this, the problem that we're dealing with. It's huge for the kids to be able to see all of that.
Yeah.
And I've worked in a rural community, and I've worked in a large unit district community. And it's worked in all of those systems. And I've seen big changes with kids and parents and communities.
Right. Can you maybe tell us a story of one of those changes? Because conceptually, I get what you're talking about, right? But can you bring us to a moment or paint a picture of working with a student and seeing that change and that transformation?
So, for example, there is There's several stories in the book. I'll tell one that's maybe not in the book.
Yeah, that's great.
Young man. Yeah, a young man who is angry. And he comes in and right off the bus, and they're going in the breakfast line. And he's upset. He punches the kid in front of him. And he's sent to the office. And so we're sitting down. The very first thing that we do is I say, so tell me, were you part of the problem or part of the solution? And I wait. The wait time is important because you need to give people an opportunity to think and to process. So he thinks and he says, well, I was part of the problem because I know I'm not supposed to punch or hit other people, but I was mad. I was angry and I am still mad and angry. So I pose the next question. How do you think he feels? Well, he probably is mad because I punched him, but I want him to know what he did was mean. I said, okay, does he know what he did? Did you tell him what he did? And he says, well, no, I punched him. Now, this is an elementary student. This is a fourth grade student. This is a fourth grade student.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, okay, do you see the problem that we have? I said, he doesn't know why you punched him. So what do you think we need to do next? So that's how we do the problem solving, that we walk through that. And we get to the point where he's processing the whole situation. We get to the point where then we get the other student and we're able to talk through together. Now, is he still in trouble for punching the student? Yes. Does he understand that he's in trouble? Yes. Does he know what he needs to do the next time? Yes. Is it going to happen right away? Well, no. We've got to work on self-regulating those incidents and those emotions. But it's a process. And I can tell you that these kids followed me. I ended up with them in middle school because I was elementary principal, but I went to the middle school. And he did. He got better as he got older because he continued with that process. But that's just one incident. But there's graphs in the book where it shows a girl working through a process with a student that was bugging her. And it shows, I had a whiteboard in my office, so I let her work through it and map it out so she could see the different ways that she could solve her problem. One of the things that we wanted to make sure kids understood on the very first day was that we were going to work to earn her trust. They needed to identify someone in the building to be a trusted adult for them. That's huge.
It is huge.
Kids need to have...
I think there's some research around like how often students actually feel totally disconnected, like there's not even one caring adult, you know? And that breaks my heart. Like, how can you be in a school that's, you think it's filled with educators who love being around kids, helping kids, opening doors, right? Building these better futures, helping them get to the next step to see a reality that like, yes, I'm not connected to nobody in this building cares about me. That's absolutely a tragedy and something that needs to be addressed, right? Every kid should have at least at a minimum one person that they know really loves them, cares about them, you know, wants them to be a success. What I love about your story too, with the boy who's angry and communicated his frustration with the peer probably in an inappropriate way. But what's nice is that there was a blend of compassion, a blend of let's unpack what happened there, right? The problem solution framing is like, you know, it takes two to tango. So what part did you play in all of this and help and see there's another way, right? You had this certain kind of feeling. You wanted to communicate it. You communicated it poorly. You're going to get a consequence for that choice. But for the next time, how can we address it? And you masterfully, you know, walk through the student through that. So I really appreciate that concrete example. I think here's probably a good place to pause just for a second to get some messages in from our sponsors. But when we come back, you know, I think where I want to jump off is, you know, what's at risk when we don't meet that individual student, right? In the moment, you know, because it might feel like a lot. There's a lot of kids going through a lot of things, but we have to meet them as individuals. So we'll be back.
You know, something that drove me nuts as a ruckus maker was hearing teachers say, I taught it and the students should have learned it. But really, some teachers just don't know how to reteach so that all kids get it. That's where IXL comes in. IXL's diagnostic automatically identifies knowledge gaps for teachers and provides them with a personalized growth plan for each individual student. Teachers can step into the classroom every day, knowing what their students know and what they don't. IXL's adaptive platform makes differentiating instruction easy. As students learn, IXL adjusts to the right level of difficulty for each individual. Close knowledge gaps and accelerate learning with IXL. Get started today at IXL.com/leaders. That's IXL.com/leaders. In post-pandemic classrooms, student talk is crucial. And when classrooms come alive with conversation, teachers and students both thrive. TeachFX helps teachers make it happen. The TeachFX instructional coaching app provides insights into student talk, effective questions, and classroom conversation quality. TeachFX professional development complements the app and empowers teachers with best practices for generating meaningful student discourse. Teachers using TeachFX increase their student talk by an average of 40%. Imagine that, 40% more ownership over the class by students. Ruckus makers can pilot TeachFX with their teachers. Visit teachfx.com/betterleaders to learn how. That's teachfx.com/betterleaders. For some students, the meal or two you serve them, that's going to be it. That's what they get for the day, which means we've got to get this right. Quest Food Management Services elevates the student dining experience, serving scratch-made meals using high-quality ingredients that are sourced locally and responsibly. Now, you might be thinking, okay, Danny, I get it. The food's high quality, but do the students eat it and enjoy it? Bottom line, students love the food. And Quest is one of the fastest growing companies in the school food service industry and has been consistently ranked in the top 50 food service providers by Food Management Magazine. Learn more about Quest Food Management Services at questfms.com or follow Quest Food on social media. That's questfms.com. All right. And here we are back with Brenda Yoho, who wrote Lead with Two Rules. Ruckus Maker approved. So check out the book. Very good. Those two rules are about, you know, feeling good and feeling safe. And where I'd like to start off is, you know, you painted a picture earlier before the break of this student that was who made a bad choice, right? And you helped them work through it. There's a lot of individual student, you know what I mean? There's a lot of kids. Last school campus, I led 1,800 students. That's a lot. But, you know, if I feel like that's too much or whatever, if I'm not invested in working with individual students, you know, what's at risk if I don't take that type of time, right?
Yeah. And, you know, Danny, that's perfect example of you've got 1,800 students. So you need to build a team that can help with working with that many students. So in the book, I talk about how you develop the team, an intervention team that you would be able to divide your students and be able to identify when students are having an issue or if there is an issue that they need to talk to someone, developing those trust issues. But as a principal, it's your responsibility to make sure that kids are being taken care of, being seen, being heard. The whole foundation of what we need to do is to build that self-awareness and social awareness. That's a key foundation. On page 73 or 76 in my book, there's a chart about resiliency, resources for kids. If schools would take a look at those 12 resources and then take the checklist and see if you're addressing those, then that's the first step in making sure that your school is dealing with what you're referring to, Danny, perfectly. make sure that you're addressing all of those issues, because those kids need those resiliency skills in order to be successful, both in social awareness, but also academically. Everything gets better, like you say, when leaders get better, but everything gets better when we get better at serving those that we're supporting. And I think that we can, when we're smart about what we're doing, because you can't do it all when you're the principal of 1800. You can't. Yeah.
I think that was really well said. And I'm glad you brought up the point that it really matters that you build a team, you know, especially if you have a really big building. But even in smaller buildings, sometimes they don't have the administrative support too. So you got to figure out how to do that. You know, it takes a village, is the African proverb, right? To raise a child. So that's a really good point. How do you talk to your faculty too, who might think, Brenda, this is one more thing, right? To add to the plate. How do you address that concern or criticism?
Okay. So yeah, I don't want it to be one more thing for the teachers or for anyone. So when I started this, I didn't make it one more thing. So the very first time that I led the school to introduce this, I dismissed all the teachers. I had 602 middle school students, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade in the gym. I told the teachers to leave. And this was a very troubled school. They were known for having multiple fights every day. They had 3 different gangs. It was a very troubled school. I'll paint that picture. So nobody moved when I said, everybody just leave for a few. No, but none of the teachers moved. Nobody moved. And I said, no, really, I just want to talk to the kids. Finally, some brave teachers stood up and then they started to leave. And I told the kids when they left, they were still hanging out in the hallway. I could still see them. I said, they don't trust me yet, but that's what I want to talk to you about. It's about trust. I need to earn your trust just as much as I need to earn the teacher's trust. That's what I'm doing here today. I want to let you know that we are about building trust starting today. And I'm only going to tell you that I only have 2 rules, and this is what they are. Everybody is going to feel good about being here. Everybody's going to feel safe. I'm only going to ask you to ask these questions of yourselves. Before you say anything, ask yourself, is this going to make me feel good? Is it going to make others feel good? Then ask yourself before you do anything, is this going to make me feel safe? Is it going to make others feel safe? If the answer is no to any of those questions, you've identified a problem in need of a solution. I am hoping that you will come to me or one of the other people in this building who will be a trusted adult for you so we can help you with solving the problem. That's how we started, Danny. I didn't make any expectations for anybody to do anything other than just that. I started with the students first, and then we just repeated that. And I started with, you can choose to be part of the problem or part of the solution. The choice is always yours to make. It's your choice. It's not my choice. It's not your teacher's choice. It's not your friend's choice. It's not your parents' choice. It's your choice. So when you make the decision, when you make that choice, it's you that's accountable and responsible for the choice. So if you decide that you're going to hit your friend or whoever you're mad at, then you are the one who's responsible, not anybody else. So that's how we started. And I would just say that in the hallways, hey, are you having a good day, making good choices? Are you part of the problem or solution today? That's how we started. I didn't ask anybody to do one more thing, just the students.
How did those students respond, you know, to that message?
They did well. I gave an example that if I was speeding, I would get a ticket and I would possibly have to pay a fine. Or the worst consequence, if I was speeding and hit someone, can I hurt someone or possibly kill someone? That's a big responsibility and a big accountability. So we have to remember those things when we make choices.
What I appreciate, you know, what you're sharing here, whether it's ownership of choices, you know, you're empowering students and ultimately staff. You're making things simple too, right? Like feel good, feel safe. You're part of the problem or solution. Mm-hmm. You know, and the sort of meta thing going on here that I'll break down for the ruckus makers, you know, leadership is about like sort of choosing edges on a continuum, right? Problem solution, feeling good or not feeling good, feeling safe or feeling unsafe. And I do that a lot as well. And probably the most frequent one I do is like, do you want to be a played safe principal, maintaining the status quo? Do you want to be a ruckus maker, right? A visitor from the future showing us how education will be one day. You know, you're evolving, you're making it better. But that there's beauty in that simplicity. You know what I mean? And it allows people, okay, I'm for this or not. And again, there'll be then consequences based on those choices. But I'm guessing a lot of play it safe principals don't listen. I don't know why they would listen to this podcast or work with me, right? If they consider themselves somebody that, you know, education's fine. And I'm not saying everything's broken. I'm saying it should evolve, right? And so anyways, just wanted to highlight, like, I really appreciate what you're doing there with the simplicity and the choices and the edges. I think the last sort of a book question I have, well, actually, let me reframe it and sort of ask you, did I miss anything? You know, the book has a lot in it and we've discussed quite a bit. Is there anything in there that you wish we would have talked about before we close out and get to the same questions I ask all my guests?
I just think that as a ruckus maker, I think this book speaks to you because your focus is on addressing first the social, emotional, mental health needs of your students. Because if you don't do those things first, if you play it safe and go with what the status quo is for education by just looking at just academics first, then you're never going to get to the success level you want it to be. I think that you want to take this risk and you want to do a program like this, and you want to, because everything, I'm going to tell you, Danny, everything will get better. It really will when you address these simplicity of the two rules first, because it did with the schools that I have worked in. They all got better academically as well as with their behavior and with their approach with everything that they were doing. It got better.
Yeah, I think, you know, maybe tell me if you disagree, but I think it's like, hey, don't miss the forest for the trees type of thing. And, you know, something that I talk about with ruckus makers is like, you know, you can spend time putting out fires and you might need to initially do that new to a building or new to your ruckus maker awakening, so to speak. But instead of the firefighting, why don't we figure out why the fires are starting in the first place and deal with root issues? And that's what Lead with Two Rules does, right? And when you set that foundation of safety, the way I talk about it in my mastermind book is the idea of belonging, right? These are similar concepts.
Yeah.
But once you have that as the starting point, now you can really achieve some great things. And if you're all about the outcomes at first, it's inputs that lead to outcomes. And if you get any success, and it's going to be short-lived, right? If you want to have extended results over time and longevity, right? You got to focus on the right thing. So I think that's what we're talking about. Yeah.
Perfectly said, Danny. Perfectly.
Brilliant. Well, Brenda, I'm excited to hear if you could put a message on all school marquees around the world for a single day, what would Brenda's message be?
I think it would be, together we can be the solution. Homeschool and community, I think together we can be the solution.
Makes sense.
It takes the team.
And if you were building your dream school and you're not limited by any types of resources, your only constraint was your ability to imagine, when building this dream school, what would be your three guiding principles?
I think it would be three C's: connected, caring, and clarity. And connected would be, I'd want the school to be designed so that it would meet the needs of all of the students and the families. So we know that it's going to take our team, not only our school, but also these outside agencies that can come in and help us with meeting the needs that we can't do as educators. So that's one of the things I think that is important. And then, you know, in helping our families with being able to get services that they may possibly need. So that's what I think was connected. I want the community seal with the school. And then I think that caring, I want to build that foundation of trust. And I think that I want that culture to feel that it provides an understanding for every member. So I would want the facility to always be welcoming So I wanted to look welcoming. So I wanted to have all those features that people would feel comfortable with being there. And I think with clarity, I'm talking about how we communicate and how we are clear with what our message is and what we're trying to do. And that everybody is valuable to what we're doing. And we're placing value on everything that we're saying. We have so much power in the words that we use. And I think that we forget that as educators. Like you were saying, I think early in our conversation, why do we have so many kids feeling like they don't have somebody they trust? We've got to change that. I agree with you wholeheartedly. If there's, you know, one thing I want people to know is that you've got to do that. You've got to build that trust. You've got to be that trusted adult. And people need to have that. They just do.
We covered a lot of ground today, Brenda, and everything we discussed. What's the one thing you want a ruckus maker to remember?
I want them to know that being a ruckus maker, you're the change that we need. You need to make this ruckus and make people understand that we do need to make these changes to lead the way, to remember that together we can, that we're a team, and that it's okay to do these things, to make these changes. People need to feel valued. And one of the things that's in the book, I guess you asked me this earlier, we need to support our staff, you know, which is some school with the trauma and stuff. Support your staff as well. That's important.
Thanks for listening to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, Ruckus Maker. How would you like to lead with confidence, swap exhaustion for energy, turn your critics into cheerleaders, and so much more? The Ruckus Maker Mastermind is a world-class leadership program designed for growth-minded school leaders just like you. Go to betterleadersbetterschools.com/mastermind. Learn more about our program and fill out the application. We'll be in touch within 48 hours to talk how we can help you be even more effective. And by the way, we have cohorts that are diverse and mixed up. We also have cohorts just for women in leadership and a BIPOC-only cohort as well. When you're ready to level up, go to betterleadersbetterschools.com/mastermind and fill out the application. Thanks again for listening to the show. Bye for now, and go make a ruckus.